We have invited members of our congregation to come forward and bring the word today. I'd like to invite Jim to come forward first. Jim Nierman.
Good morning. That's right. Got to pause for the response. My name is Jim Nierman. My wife Angie and I have been members of the church since 2004. We started coming here in 2004. At the time, I had not heard of reconciling in Christ, the process. I didn't know this church was a reconciling in Christ church. I didn't know it as a gay church. I had just come at the invitation of one of my former professors, and we found it to be a very welcoming place, and that's kind of one of the key experiences that I relate to the reconciling in Christ process or designation or spirit. My first experience, or the way it kind of came about, is when we first started coming here, Angie was not baptized. She was not a baptized Christian. And in the church that I was raised in, even being baptized wasn't enough to get you a seat at the communion table. You had a whole another set array of rules and behaviors that were expected to come up to the altar and actually take part in communion. And if truth matters, in order to actually come in good conscience to communion in accordance with the rules that I was raised in, you either had to be willfully ignorant of those rules or really rely on God's faith and capacity for forgiveness. So there's a lot of willful ignorance in my experience with church growing up. It was just kind of part of the experience. But anyways, coming here, being a good Lutheran, not wanting to offend the norms, I went to Pastor Barber at the time and asked what the rules were for coming up. And he kind of found the question amusing and actually laughed or chuckled. And then said, he goes, well, it was one of those what would Jesus do moments. He said, I don't think Jesus would deny anybody room at the table, so come on up and bring your wonderful wife. And my concern in asking the question, when it was just habituated, that's what I do or how I was learned to behave. And at first I thought I don't want to offend anybody's sensitivities, any of my fellow parishioners here. But it was more actually a reflection of my own, worried about how they would regard us if we came in and broke the rules. That's just self-reflection on that experience and thinking about it. But Pastor Barber's response, as lighthearted as it was, had a very deep, was just very deep in the meaning, which was all are welcome. Nobody should be denied. So that's just within our context and experience. The second experience, which was actually probably the first, is noticing when we came into the congregation that indeed there were a lot of male and female couples in the pews, which to me was great to see for personal reasons also. To me, it was really a genuine indication of God's love being practiced in this place in a very very tangible and very overt way, which was wonderful. In my family, I've been surrounded by Lutheran ministers. I grew up in the Lutheran church. Two grandfathers, all of my uncles except for two, and even my father was a Lutheran minister. He's left the God business, but still goes to church, just no longer a minister. And the only two uncles who are not Lutheran ministers are the two that I grew up closest to, Uncles Jim and Dave. And they've been a couple since before I was born, but were never acknowledged by my family to be anything other than good friends. So for all that time, they were, you know, Uncle Dave was accepted in the family. Uncle Jim is my mother's younger brother. But the nature of their relationship was more than just ignored. It was actively denied. So we would embrace, or the family in total would embrace this relationship, but only under certain terms or only under certain conditions. And that was that we all kind of kept up this facade. So while we were probably practicing what passed for love and embracing them, including them in the family, we're also forcing them to endure a lot of sort of the subtle, and then not so subtle forms of denying of, well, how would I phrase that? They had to endure a lot of the bigotry, a lot of the conventional doctrine of the time, which in its harshest form was directly verbalized as homosexuality is an abomination, again, in the eyes of God. Okay, try to deal with that within this context of coming to an open family. On the other side would be the, you know, maybe the more subtle forms of gay jokes or even the one that has kind of come into vogue in the recent decade of that love the sinner, hate the sin, which is so subtle. Gotta love it. So anyways, all the while, as well, they were one of the most stable, committed, loving relationships that I had as a model growing up. Uncles Jim and Dave, you know, they've outlasted my own parents' relationship. They've outlasted one of my uncle's relationships. That doesn't make them any better. Doesn't, not at all, but it does challenge this kind of stereotype of degenerate wantonness that seems to prevail with the conventional doctrine, at least as it was broadcast in the churches that I attended growing up. So it wasn't until my grandfather passed away that there was no kicking down at the closet door, there was no big event, but the family just stopped ignoring the fact that they were a committed couple. And, you know, it sounds a little bit condescending to say we welcome them as full members of the family, but they just assumed that role with the passing of my grandfather, which I thought was very sad, you know, that had to occur in that way. But that was the reality of it. So, taking it back to the church here, the most personal experience in service to me is coming up to the communion table. It's the one time, you know, we're all participating in song and in prayer. And you come up to the communion table and you have those quiet moments with God and your own thoughts. It's hard for me to reconcile somebody opening or closing the gates to that experience and to that relationship. So judging others is a very tricky thing. It's something we all do. At worst, we do it to make ourselves feel better. You know, putting someone else down or judging someone else to make ourselves feel better, to make ourselves feel more safe or more secure. We're trying to assert some understanding over something we can't quite grasp or is just a little bit different. But, you know, it's human and it's understandable. But when we judge another person's or suitability to participate in the church, when we deny them access to communion, we really presume too much to know about their relationship and their quiet dialogue with God. And I think presume a little too much about our own as well. So depending on my mood, it's either my response to that denial is either, it's either, you know, this it's such a silly thing, or there's a frustration to it, or there's anger, or there's sadness, because it seems a lot of wasted energy trying to thwart the message of unity of spirit in God's love. So that's why I feel very thankful to be part of a congregation that actively recognizes that by asserting publicly and opening the doors wide as a reconciling of Christ Church. Yes.
Pretend we have a long-winded minister up here now. thank you very much, Jim, for your words, and I've appreciated very much working on committees with you in the life of our church. Reconciling in Christ, I want to first say that Carol Langner wrote me some information about the history of the reconciling in Christ process in our church. And I thought, well, should I just cannibalize it and use it? I want to use it. But I couldn't do that because the information, the way she wrote it, is so very vital to our church. But first, you know, my experience coming here was in a program at a gay men's chorus concert up at Diamond Head Theater one night that had a little ad in there about this church, the Lutheran Church of Honolulu. And I read it, and it said, open, welcoming, and affirming to all, regardless of sexuality. And I said, ah, a Lutheran church. I'm a Lutheran. You know? And I live two blocks away. And I didn't know about this church being an open and welcoming church the way it was. I said, well, I'll just have to go tomorrow morning and see what this is all about. Well, I came with trepidations like, you know, you might expect that I would. But I walked through the door, I looked around, and I said, maybe I am home. You know, I saw people I thought maybe I could identify with. And I sat down, and the first thing that I was blown away with in the whole service was the choir over in the corner, the music from the organ, and all the music that came from the congregation. I said, wow, this is just absolutely phenomenal. And after the service, I heard nothing in the sermon that day that gave me any clue to anything. But after the service that day, Pastor Johnson was standing outside there, and he asked me, you know, how did you hear about our church? Where are you from? And I told him. And he said, oh, well, you go over and talk to Robert back there. And I did, you know, and I told him, you know, how I learned about the church. And then he clued me into a lot of things about the church here. And so I continued to come back. I never dropped a beat after I walked through the door of this church. You know, I thought, well, I'll come to Sunday services and that will be it. You know, I won't feel comfortable enough to get involved with all the church council and all the other service committees that are within our congregation. But I did. And did I feel comfortable in each of them? Yes, I did. They weren't looking at me for anything gay. They were looking for me as being a person who was sharing in the sacramental and general life of this congregation. And that's what I continued to do. I think the last big thing that I did and the thing I felt so fortunate to do, I co-chaired the call committee, which called Pastor Jeff to our church. And I think that's just been, I think we've all been very, very happy with that decision. But I have never felt out of place here. I think there have been some people who have come here a time or two have felt a little out of place here, but it hasn't been me. And I thank God for that. I thank God for this church. I thank God for this family in this church. You are my extended family in Hawaii. I thank God for the program, a 12-step program that sobered me up, allowed me to think about God again, allowed me through what we call in our 12-step program, the textbook that talked about so many things about spiritual growth, and to learn these things and to learn about myself and to be able to walk in here and then come back to the good book. You know, from the big book to the good book is what I've always been saying. And to learn that God is a God of love. And his son Jesus Christ expressed it so well as we went through the days of Easter past. You know, knowing, you know, what he went through and why he did what he did. I just can't say enough in my own personal experience about the Lutheran Church of Honolulu. I don't want it ever thought of as a gay church. I want it thought of as a welcoming, opening, and affirming church to all. That's how I like this church to be felt, because I don't want to be singled out for anything. My experience in growing up was feeling somewhat broken. I think there has always been something about me, because I went to church a lot when I was a kid, that said, somewhere in your life you're going to find God and it's going to be okay. Somehow that was always in my life. And no matter how broken I felt about the rules of other people, as pertains to me, I always felt that somehow, someday, I will find, God, and I have. Through the 12-step program, which got me sober, I think I started finding that God. I used to think of vengeance when I thought of God. Today I think of love when I think of God. And that's the way I want it to be. You know, we had during Lent, you ridiculed me over here on the pew one day. We're talking about being in the dark. Do you want to come into the light? And I just sat over here, yeah, I want to come into the light, He looks at me like, do you really want to come into the light? And yes, I want to be in the light. I want to be in God's light. I want to be in the saving love of Jesus Christ. And it's in this church that I find that. And it's in that church that I have become to know that. It was when I started coming out of the darkness and my secrets became known and I was able to confess, the things that I had done in my life and became relieved of the guilt that I had suffered for so many years because of those things. That the light just came in, and now it inspires me on a daily basis that, yes, Robert, you are okay. I went to an AA conference in Kansas City, the first one they ever put on, and we did a lot of study on spirituality there. Then I went to a, what is the Catholic gay group? I never can think of it. Dignity. We had a Dignity Mass the Sunday night that I got back. And I sat in that Mass and thought about my weekend. And I thought about the group that I was involved with. It was the only group we had in Sioux City, Iowa. You can imagine a little redneck town like that. You don't have too many gay association places. But I sat there and all of a sudden this overwhelming feeling just came to me as I was thinking about God, about Jesus. I started crying. And I couldn't stop for the longest time. And the feeling I had was finally God telling me, yes, you are okay. You are acceptable the way you are. But I had to make some changes in my life for sure. Those changes all for the good. I don't know how I can tell you about the brokenness I felt and where it led me. But it led me to alcoholism. It's led a lot of other people to alcoholism. In our gay community, we have people who are enslaved to a lot of addictions. Alcoholism, drugs, sexual addiction. And I think that was what absolutely brought me into, the bad behaviors that gave me HIV and AIDS, which I was diagnosed with in 1984. And I don't think I would have survived that without God giving Bill and Bob a 12-step program to help me through a lot of things that had helped me through. But to come to this church and finally being able to acknowledge the things that I have acknowledged up here, it's absolutely been a miracle. Pastor Johnson was very welcoming to me. He allowed me to come up and share a few times on Sundays about my life. Pastor Fritz was a very welcoming person as our associate pastor of this church. It's just been a phenomenal experience. But what is this Reconciling Christ all about? It's a corporation thing that we incorporate into our life. The people of all sexual orientations and gender identities share the worth that comes from being unique individuals created by God. The people of all sexual orientations and gender identities are welcome within the membership of this congregation upon making a common public affirmation of faith, and that as members of this congregation, people of all sexual orientation and gender identities are expected and encouraged to share in the sacramental and general life of this congregation. Just a bit of history. In the late 1980s, Walter Williams, and if you came here and saw the quilt display, you saw his quilt on display. respected council member, longtime choir member, and closeted gay man came out to the congregation. He wrote a devotional that was included in the church's annual Lenten booklet written and compiled by members. I suppose he was forced out because he had AIDS, the symptom of the opportunistic illness which would shortly take his life, were becoming obvious. Healing is a mysterious thing, and I think that this confession helped to heal Walter's divided spirit. And how many people out there have divided spirits here and there, and to bring them together to know that unity that we know in God. He could become whole again, the full person he was. In that wholeness, he was able to receive the love and care that the congregation could and did offer him. Aside from a somewhat distant brother, he had no family either here or on the mainland. Walter died in Queens Hospital in early April 1990, just before Easter. As much as our care for Walter helped to heal his spirit and prepare him for his death, so did the help the congregation did heal him from a malaise we didn't even know he had. He did this by raising to our consciousness the historical tension within the Christian traditions regarding the place and role of gay and lesbian persons. The lessons we learned from Walter served us well in the spring of 1991, when this congregation was in discussions on a pending internship, an outed gay seminarian who lost the support of a sponsored candidacy committee and was no longer eligible to continue his studies at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary. Instead, his internship was offered through the Pacific School of Religion, Mary Fastenow, and the council did a wonderful job facilitating respectful exchange of opinions. The council then arrived at an affirmative vote that led to a watershed year for LCH. He did come. He was our intern. The man is now in a blessed ministerial position that I think he longed for, and is now living well and preaching well with God. This congregation, if you only knew what you meant to a lot of people who can come here and worship with you. It's the same for a lot of people as it is for me. I bless each and every one of you because you have finally given me the wholeness that I wanted in my entire life. And that wholeness we know comes from God. This is God's church. You are God's people, and I am one of you, and thank you.